So, hi everyone, again, I'm Pierre Prancheri, also known as Corben. You may have heard I announced a couple days ago So this has been gotten right already years ago. It's really a no-brainer. If basically you don't even realize you cross-compile, you just build it and it just works. And if you want to build ARM on x86 or the other way around, it just works too. You just put a flag and it's going to build a toolchain and build the rest. So therefore, over the years, it attracted lots of really cool research. We have tons of awesome modern features in Tree. Like ASLR, CGD is disk crypto, we have virtualization with Xen, quite solid. We have the RUMP any kernel, which is also really awesome. We have some ZFS supports, we have some dtrace, and this is all thanks to the NetBSD development model, the existing one. It's about this, it goes along these lines. So only official developers can commit directly. And it takes a while to be accepted as one. I did it myself. I've been a developer for a year now. And it took me a good couple years of significant contributions to be invited to the crew. So this means commits are usually reviewed quite intensively. Typically, you don't commit before having a green flag, which is totally fine. It means the code is really like clean, and when it gets in, it's already ready. Work on the code is always public. There is only one public repository. There is nothing hidden on that side. It's allowed to branch. Developers can make and are invited to create their own branches. And they are also all online, all part of the main repository, because also of the way CVS works. And the basic rule is that when you commit something, you don't break something that's already in there. Especially lots of different architectures are supported. You will get nasty comments if you break any one of them, because most of them are still used, which is like really nice also. So yeah, this is all good, a very high standard, but there is a but. It also harms development. As far as I'm concerned, at least, it really wasn't easy to get involved and to become a developer, and it's even more difficult if you only have occasional contributions. Like if you just use NetBSD from time to time and one day you feel like, oh, I would like to see how to write this feature for the kernel. And then you do it, but you cannot easily become a developer because you need to like show that you are really, really motivated over some period. And someone has to be available to commit your stuff. So for many months, I had some bug fixes for hardware, speaking only about myself, for OpenMoco and stuff like that, to interact with NetBSD hosts. And I had patches in bug reports. I was regularly sending out emails like, please commit that, but nobody was ever doing it. So what it took is going to a conference and like bugging a developer until he does it for me. And he couldn't really review it anyway because I was taking him on the spot. So this is not really nice. If you just have occasional patches, it's not so easy to get them inside the code. If your contribution is major, say you ported NetBSD to a new platform or something, you also cannot easily have these changes be reviewed. And typically, they are not seen by the general public before they are integrated, which also doesn't help reviews. So it's not possible easily to test contributions when they are just sent as one big blob somewhere, and this format is also not defined. It's not easy to patch them and test them yourself, and even less to send these patches to the original guy because you don't have access to his repository. And even if you are an official NetBSD developer like me, typically you cannot try out stuff. You cannot commit some changes, then decide, okay, it's all nice and everything, but I found a better way or better flow for this commit, and I want to use this one from a branch to another and so on. This just doesn't work because also of the way CVS works. You just push to the public tree and then it's there forever, which is totally fine, the development model, but it doesn't allow research basically, or not working on features publicly like that, if you don't know exactly where you're going. So to that list, I'm also adding the fact that NetBSD maintains its own versions of plenty of software inside the base system. I like the fact that there is a base system, but it means that it's full of software like Xorg, GCC, Bind, Postfix that has to be maintained in base, as opposed to regular packages from package source, where the packages come from on NetBSD. And recently, this meant that my workstation, which is not even so recent, and my laptop, which is also kind of old, do not work with a package update. Because simply, if you use the versions of Xorg upstream, they do not have our patches, because we put our patches in our own repositories in base. And if you want to use the upstream stuff, it just doesn't work anymore. And I want to run NetBSD on my main system with modern software. And so if we keep working on all of these software projects with forks in tree, it's problematic because these changes are not easily pushed up upstream and they never hear about us. So I mentioned CVS already in two slides earlier. I like CVS. It's a very simple system. It's easy to fix it if it gets broken on your local tree. You can combine different versions inside the same checkout. There are many things you can do. You can do submodules for free. It's really cool. And I do not like Git myself. I find it inconsistent and opaque. Like the user interface is really, in my opinion, wrong. It's difficult to use. It took me months to get into it. But what it brings is also so good. You can work offline. That's completely impossible with CVS unless you like obtain the whole repository and then go into like doing really complicated mergers and so on. And I don't want to do that. I want to work offline. I want to have lots of branches. I want to switch commits from one to the other, test stuff, be able to check out different branches, flip over switch, and so on. I want to stash changes. I want to stage commits. It's just so powerful and convenient. And it's popular. I think it's popular for this reason, because it has this flexibility, this speed. And maybe it's not the best technical solution for NetBSD, especially not for the one central repository, but I think it can be a really, really good tool and developing model for maybe staging changes, for testing stuff, and sharing all of this work. So that's where HPHD kicks in. I announced this project only 2 days ago, and I don't know yet what it's going to bring, where it's going to go. but I mean it as a staging area for NetBSD. I want to allow just about anyone to create branches, to push their changes there, to advertise them, to let people test them decentralized, and I want it to be more open, more affordable, and more fun. So the idea is to polish patches to prepare contributions for inclusion. So this way, we can easily, as a group, say, okay, I'm working on this new port. Can you check if it looks good? Can you commit changes if you think something has to be fixed and so on? Can you test it on your maybe platform, which is different than mine, and so on? And this way, it means when it gets into NetBSD, it's already tested by more people. It's already reviewed to some extent, and then NetBSD can review it again and integrate it if they want. So it's pretty much only this. And if someday NetBSD refuses some changes that we consider good and that we push to our own master, then it's going to be a fork. But I don't know yet which way it's going to take. So the development model is right now my basic idea, which is completely open for changes, to keep NetBSD's original code as a pristine Git mirror first, so both source and package source repositories, so that we have a reference with every branch available and where we can just cherry pick commits if we want. Like anybody can just check it out, and if the branch is not tracked explicitly by HPSD, you can just take it on top of HPSD's regular repository and pick up commits or whatever you want. Then in HPSD proper, the idea is to track master like CVS head and a few branches from NetBSD, the ones we are most interested in, like the latest stable and maybe the DRM stuff or whatever research being actively developed at any given time, and allow the HPSD developers to push whichever branch they want. We can even do it the same way as in NetBSD, putting first the nickname, developer name of the people, of the person responsible for the branch, then something describing quickly the feature, whatever goal of the branch, and that's it. We can each of us have a branch dedicated for changes to be pushed, to be reviewed, which would be pushed then either to HPSD master or proposed to NetBSD upstream. And master could be a tentative current for HPSD. So how could HPSD current be different from NetBSD current? Well, one thing that I find really, really sad in NetBSD is that we have lots of cool features, but we do not enable them because they might break. And two, I prefer something stable and working and everything, but if we don't enable these features, they don't get used, they rot, and they get even more broken over time. And some of these features are, at least in my perspective, mandatory in an operating system in 2013. And the first one of them is OSLR. Like, it's very important security-wise nowadays to have non-executable stacks and W, not X, in memory, executable, not writable pages. And secure levels maybe. SSP is not even enabled by default, I think, for the user land, only in kernel for two architectures. And there are no other issues that I know about SSP, except that it imposes restrictions on the code you can write. No dynamic variable allocation, but whatever, it should be this way anyway, if you ask me. Very exec, well, fair enough, it's a bit complicated to get in, to get it started. But I would like to have modular kernels, for instance. And yes, right now they are not enabled because they might break. But it means my tablet that you can see after this talk at the NetBSD booth if you want. My tablet is a pretty simple x86 box with an Atom. And I like when it boots fast. I don't like when it spends 20 seconds just uncompressing the kernel when it's going to use 10% of it. So I would like the default kernel to be modular. Xorg, as I mentioned, Xorg broke on my laptop, but I would like to have it from packages anyway to be able to easily get the new changes, to get the security patches without changing the whole, without updating the whole of base. So I would like to have this and more features be more tested, enabled by default, at least on current slash master, and maybe unbreak them, since we will use them and see how they are broken. So this is all about having fun and about research and experimenting. And as far as development is concerned, I would like to provide a more more modern set of services to the developers. It starts with email, of course, pretty commonplace, but I would also like to provide calendar, messaging, maybe even voice over IP or video chat to contributors. Because why not? I mean, it's now 21st century, we have webcams on all our laptops, like it or not, on our phones and so on. So why not just put them to good use and like say hi from time to time and have the tools ready available. I would like to put as much automated stuff as possible, because it's right now it's more like a one-man army, unless you join. But still, even if you join, it would be great to have more automated checks. It's not easy to do, it's a lot of work, a lot of infrastructure. But we have the issue now that we cannot, as developers, easily test a patch on XYZ architecture, because we don't have these architectures at home. And we need a service. If we want to keep the architectures all supported at once, we need a service where we can just test patches before committing. So a workflow could be, okay, my patch is ready, I send it to this service, it's going to be built everywhere, and if it does, it's going to be pushed to master. I think this shouldn't be so much work. I think this would be very interesting to have, and to especially as a staging environment for NetBSD proper. So this is a lot of work, but I'm willing to do it, I'm willing to work on it, and I think it's necessary anyway to increase quality, to be able to keep managing all of these existing features and work on so many architectures. We're not so many, and if we don't automate more tasks, we're just never gonna be able to move forward. So yes, now re-engineering. You tell me if I'm going too fast or if you have questions, right? So now speaking about release engineering, I would like to have an HPSD release. It's not a must, but I think it would be great to have also something like that, which would make it more of a fork than not. But yeah, maybe we are never able to reach this, or maybe we are, and let's see. So the idea right now, at least the one I have, is to be basing work on NetBSD stable branch, enable these features that I mentioned earlier, and have only one line of stable branch, I mean one stable branch maintained at any given time. No more 601, 602, and so on. Just version 6, and that's it. And then like release point August 24th or whatever. So basically the idea is to provide continuous security fixes, to have maybe a more Debian-like way of maintaining packages, so that packages can be tested before they are tagged as stable, like it's currently done with package source. Like I had no way to tell that it would break on my laptop, because one day, every 3 months, just a new stuff is considered stable and you move to it. And if it's broken, well, whatever. And I don't like that. So I would like to have easier ways to install and test packages. We now have packaging, thanks to Emil. It's able to handle multiple repositories, so we could even probably combine one stable tree, pick up packages from testing, and if it's fine, then this stuff from testing goes into stable. I mean, this should be possible. Maybe we can try out something like that. On top of that, what I would really like to see in a release is a graphical installer, first of all. I mean, yeah, sure, I'm doing the occasional net install on servers and stuff like that, but if we want to attract users, we need also something graphical and easy to install. And it's not, it doesn't have to break sysinst. We can keep sysinst, have it somewhere still available for network installs. I really like it, except for the partitioning part, which is not easy for most people. But it's really simple, fast, and there is no reason why we're gonna achieve the same graphically. I am considering also focusing on one particular desktop environment, I am biased here because I'm writing my own, but at least I run it on NetBSD. I try to make everything work, and it's not always the case of XFCE, GNOME, KDE, and so on, because they are primarily tested on Linux and whatnot. So yeah, this could be an option to have something maybe working out of the box, at least for a given list of hardware and software. I would likewise have, I would like to have ready-to-flash images for tablets, for evaluation boards, for whatever, to be able to tell somebody who wants to try NetBSD, okay, you have this board, just take this image, flash it, test it. If it's broken, it's a bug. So yeah, the SD is to have stable milestones, continuous updates. I think in this time and age, it should be possible, and maybe Git can help doing that. I don't know yet. I just want to try it out. Politics. Well, it's also a motivation. I don't really feel comfortable with what's going on in USA right now, which is also happening in Europe anyway, but still, I'm not sure if I can trust a system that's primarily hosted in the USA. So I want to host HBSD in Germany because that's where I live. It's not set in stone either, but it's also one reason for doing all of this. And I think it would be great also to have a legal structure backing out the project to be able to get donations also, or funding, or like bills or whatever. And I don't know how far this is going to be, how much outcome it's going to be for the amount of work, but I mean, I don't know how to create an association or whatever legal structure is required, and I want to know that. I mean, why not? Could be interesting to know how this all works. I mean, I'm freelance actually myself, and so I'm already into doing stuff like that. And when I'm doing it for the project, to give it more, let it be more real, more concrete. So yeah. With this said, it's not vaporware. We're not starting from scratch. We have a website. Okay, it looks ugly, I know, I did it. You can blame me, I don't care. Patches, welcome. We have Git repositories already. They are cloned from Jörg's work, Jörg Sonnenberger's work, from the GitHub stuff, which is also a US company, but whatever. Let's forget about this for now. So yes, you can already clone the code. It's already out there. There is the web interface on git.hbsd.org, which is just a regular Git web. And the repository is accessible over HTTP. So it's the same address, git.hbsd.org/hpsd-camelcase, and then -src.git and -package-source.git for the main repositories. And yes, we have a new port for NetBSD. We have fallen Jan, who has been working in the past few weeks on porting NetBSD to the LM32 CPU, which is a soft CPU, meaning it works on Xilinx FPGA hardware. It's notably used by the Milky Mist VJ box. And of course, he preferred to work on this using Git, and he had his own private tree somewhere, which he was just advertising as the LM32 port, but not very visible and in its own place. So it made total sense to tell him, hey, why not just put it in with our HPSD stuff to bootstrap it. And so he is the first official contributor. And so we have a new port to be reviewed and integrated to NetBSD. It's only missing a PMAP now, and it's gonna be ready and run, hopefully. So yeah, I'm looking forward for more stuff like that. If you have anything to push to NetBSD, just push it there. Maybe it's going to be more visible, maybe more people can propose patches, get it reviewed. It's very simple to get any commit or lists or series of commits as a patch that can be applied directly to NetBSD. So we could even maybe flip of a switch, have a web interface where you click on a button and then it's sending a PR with the description of your changes or whatever. I would love to see that. And we can already do sort of that. Like it's there. So before I conclude, I would like to thank Buck Hunting for his motivation, watching my everything I do since I started talking to him about the project and pushing me to do everything correctly. It's really nice to have support like that. The Git community of like I'm using GitWeb and Gitolit in particular on for the initial infrastructure, and it's really simple and convenient. Jorg from NetBSD project for his work on converting NetBSD to different VCSs and Git in particular. So all of the HBSD stuff currently comes from his work. I would like to thank NetBSD again for having such a high standard and being such an awesome platform. Jan, as I mentioned, is working on the LM32 port. And thanks to the Lisp room for providing the slot right now. This was all very short notice. And now I realize that my slides are truncated. But yeah, hopefully I will push them online. So if you have any questions, if you want to reach me, I'm sorry for the rough and somehow rushed presentation. This was all done in 1 hour yesterday. And it's basically when I knew about the confirmed slot. This is all new, ambitious, but also open. So speak your mind. Do it now. Do it later. Join us on IRC. You can drop me emails already at corbin@hpsc.org. I will set up mailing list as soon as possible. Sorry about that. And so, yeah, if you have questions now, welcome. Yes. It's still identified as NetBSD, and it is a very good question because I have a branch to push. Yes, so Benny was asking about the uname, which is basically what tells the programs which system it is running on. And it's really important, for instance, for packages to know how they should be built and which features should be enabled and so on. So right now the uname is still NetBSD because it's pretty much the NetBSD source code right now with the exception of one commit, which is really trivial. So I have a private branch somewhere on my laptop or workstation or whatever where I'm trying to change it. And it's very interesting to know what to change to perform that and which consequences it can have. So it's going to be one branch that I'm going to push on the main tree. So I'm not sure if the uname will change anytime soon in the master branch, but it may happen someday, yeah. Exactly. I don't want to do it now. I want to keep things working. I want to break potentially some stuff with the new features, but I don't want to break absolutely everything by just enabling this and be like, yeah, unusable. But yeah, it's exactly the point. We can make one branch with exactly this being attempted, and the day it works, we push it. And that's it. So another question? Yeah. So the question is about the graphical installer, and apparently you're saying that there was already such an attempt.
Yeah, the Orange Flag installer.
Called the Orange Flag installer, and I never heard about it.
Okay. And you want to look into it, maybe that's a good starting point.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I'm pretty used to working on GTK stuff, and I already have some FDisk code that I could resurrect. And some file instruction code which I could put together, and it could be an installer pretty fast. Just need to spend time on it. But if somebody already has something, like so much the better. We push it here, try it out, try to build a live CD with it, and see if it works. So Orange Flag, I should write it down. Well, it's in the video. Anything else? So since I have two t-shirts and I got two questions so far, who wants white? Who wants black? Okay. So thanks, guys. It's a very limited edition. Yeah, so thanks for listening. I'm going to be here the whole weekend. Don't hesitate. I'm going to wear this t-shirt tomorrow. Hopefully it won't smell yet. and so that you can usually spot me. And I will also stay at the old BSD booth as long as possible, where I have a tablet to demonstrate and the Nokia 900, because I'm porting NetBSD on it. This is already a branch on the regular CVS-3, but I hope I'm going to be able to try out more stuff on this one. So yeah. So that's exactly what I want to avoid. There was work done on the graphical installer back in 2006 called Orange Flag, as we said, and it was hosted on some DIN DNS server somewhere, and it's gone. It was for NetBSD 4, maybe it would still be useful, but maybe it's all lost because it was not maintained as a group with shared infrastructure. Yeah. We should not lose work like that. That's what I want to say. So thank you again, and see you around.